This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Frank Stacio in Washington, sitting in for Neil Conan. Well, many of us took the day off yesterday to celebrate President's Day, but how many of us know when those presidents were born? For those of you who said George Washington was born February 22nd, you are correct. George Washington born 273 years ago today in the year 1732. Abraham Lincoln, the other president we acknowledge on this holiday, was born February 12, 1809. Americans love their presidents, but how much do we really know about them? Well, today we're going to challenge our knowledge of the U.S. presidents with a presidential trivia quiz. You can give us a call to be a contestant. We're going to ask questions in these categories: first ladies, presidential scandals, quotable quotes, personal histories about the presidents, vice presidents, or famous firsts. So if you think you're an expert in any of those categories, you can call us here at Talk of the Nation. First ladies, presidential scandals, quotable quotes, personal histories, vice presidents are famous first. 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK to call us. And here to help us with the questions are Carter Smith. He's a history buff and author of Presidents, Every Question Answered, everything you could possibly want to know about the nation's chief executives. And he joins us from our NPR bureau in New York. Thanks for joining us, Carter.
My pleasure.
Here in Studio 3A is NPR's political editor and political button collector and knower of all things trivial, Ken Rudin.
Frank, this is so far the best day of my life.
And if you're lucky enough to make this the best day of your life by calling in, you can answer three questions correctly. You will win a copy of Carter Smith's new book. It's a lovely book. It's got pictures of all the presidents and lots of information about them. And for those of you who don't get all three, or even if you do, Ken has kindly offered a consolation prize. I guess for everybody who calls in, he is will carefully select a political button from his collection and give it to you. So if you give us a call at 989-8255. And also, listen, so that's if you want to be a part of the contest, you want to be a contestant. But if you would rather offer a challenge, then you can send us an email, dotn@npr.org, and you can send us a question to try to stump our experts. So that's the email challenge, dotn@npr.org. And we have a special contestant later in the program. This kid's 8 years old, and he knows more than all of us. He has compiled enough presidential trivia to make his own board game. But before we start that, we want to hear from our panelist, Carter Smith. This is quite a book. What got you interested in presidents?
Well, like a lot of people, I've been fascinated with presidents all my life. One of the turning points that I remember, I must have been 13, 14 years old, and my parents decided that they were going to take me and my brother and sister up to New Hampshire in 76, and we went door-to-door for Jimmy Carter, who I had picked out because of his last name, not because of his platform. The 12-year-old, you know, picking the candidate.
Yeah.
And I remember the little bags of peanuts that the Carter campaign were handing out in New Hampshire, and it was just a real eye-opening lesson in what democracy meant, that the guys who we choose to be our presidents have to stand out there on street corners and meet people in cafes and coffee shops, and that if every citizen of New Hampshire didn't have a chance to personally ask a question twice of every candidate, then there was something wrong with that candidate. And I loved that. I loved that.
And,
so I've never forgotten it.
And you put this book together. And how long did it take you to put this thing together?
Oh, it took a little while. It took on and off about 8 months, but most of it was done in about four.
Of course, good news is there's just lots of information about president. Not hard to find this stuff. I guess it's hard to winnow out the information.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And of course, one of our listeners caught the mistake that I made early on in the program by calling Millard Fillmore the mayor of Buffalo, and in fact, that was Grover Cleveland, and Millard Fillmore was a Buffalo resident, born in Buffalo.
That's
or nearby,
right.
East Aurora, actually,
not
Buffalo. It's the suburb of Buffalo, East Aurora. And so I suppose we should test your knowledge or talk a little bit about this, since it's Washington's birthday. George Washington, wooden teeth, Carter?
No, he did not have wooden teeth. That's one of the great myths about George Washington, just like the cherry tree, which he did not chop down.
Oh,
and he did not say anything about not telling a lie about it. His teeth were actually made of a combination of ivory and metal. He had several different sets of teeth, and they were so uncomfortable that that's one of the reasons that he gave his second inaugural was one of the shortest inaugurals ever.
Yeah, so.
He actually had one tooth in his mouth, one real tooth in his mouth by the time he gave his inaugural address the second time. So he didn't want to tarry very long and saying a lot of words because it hurt.
Ken Rudin, as I thumb through this book, I think the thing that occurs to me immediately as I look at these presidents is they're all white men.
They are all white men, and they probably will be white men for some time to come. But obviously, you know, given the fact that we didn't have our first woman on a national ticket until 1984 with Geraldine Ferraro, and a first series black candidate until Jesse Jackson in 84 and 88, so things could change, but again, they haven't so far.
All right. Well, listen, on to our game now. Here's the challenge. You're going to we named several categories in which you can be an expert. And Carter Smith is going to ask you three questions. If you get them all right, you win the book. Otherwise, well, you'll get a button from Ken's collection.
Boy, that's depressing.
That sounds great. No, it's pretty good. All right, well, let's go to Eileen then. Eileen?
Hi.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. Are you a president buff yourself?
I have always been a presidential buff. I was a social studies whiz in high school, so I told you a screener, and I am excited, and I can't wait to answer your question.
All right, and you're interested in personal histories, right? Mm-hmm. All right, personal histories of the presidents. Carter Smith, go.
Okay, question one. Which president was a male model before becoming president?
Jerry Ford.
Very good.
Whoa.
Very good.
Jerry Ford. Go ahead and ask the question. I've got questions about that, but go ahead.
Okay.
You've heard of the Ford Modeling Agency. Well, that's another
one. Number two.
In his first campaign for president, this president was accused of fathering a child out of wedlock. Upon hearing the charges, he immediately admitted they were true and proved that he'd been supporting both the mother and child. 2 years after taking office, he married the mother of the child in the White House, named the president.
Warren G. Harding.
Warren G. Harding is incorrect.
Mm. Mm. And who was that?
That was actually Grover Cleveland.
Grover Cleveland. Also,
yeah.
Also, I believe, the most unattractive president. So that's an interesting fact. But go ahead. Okay, question
right.
Number three.
Okay, number three. After leaving office, this president wrote a book in which he argued against the belief that Jesus was the Son of God, a controversial statement for a president to make. Who was this president?
This is a president who argued that Jesus was not the Son of God.
This one is on the tip of my tongue, and I'm drawing a blank.
Should we offer multiple choice?
All right. Do we have a hint? Is there, Carter?
A hint? Well, let's see. It makes sense that this president would not be known for belonging to any particular organized religion. He's one of the few. That would be one clue. I could give you the multiple choice. I'm not sure if it would give it away, though.
Well, let's see. Did that help at all, Eileen?
It didn't help.
Okay.
How about multiple
choice?
Let's do multiple choice.
Okay. John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, Woodrow Wilson, Jimmy Carter.
Thomas Jefferson.
You are correct.
Very good.
Carter was the throwaway. That was the throwaway.
Yeah, yeah. That's great. So you get a political button, Eileen.
It's better than nothing.
It is. Well, thank you very much for your call.
Thanks for having me.
We're doing political trivia today with Carter Smith, author of Presidents, Every Question Answered. And NPR's political editor, Ken Rudin, is also with us. And we're taking your calls. If you think you know about the presidents, give us a call at 800-989-8255. And if you'd like to challenge us very late in the program, you can send us an email with your question, and we will try to answer it. So Jerry Ford was a model, eh?
That's right. Yeah, he modeled, I think it was for the Aero Shirt Company, back probably in the 40s, I think. He didn't have a long career, but he did do that.
And that was well before his political career began.
Before the political career, right.
And good trivia question, he was one of the two presidents who were adopted. He was born Leslie King Jr.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the other president to be adopted was...
Who was that other president?
William Jefferson Blythe.
Yes, right. Clinton.
Bill Clinton.
Right. You know.
Wait, do I win anything if I?
You.
No.
Do I get
a button?
You can take the button back from Eileen.
I'm afraid of
yeah,
that.
She's
yeah.
not here. Carter, tell me this. Now, when you talked about Thomas Jefferson arguing, how did he feel that this was a wise thing to do? Where did this come up? Was this part of the
political
debate?
Well, he wrote a book, and it was considerably after he was out of office. He really didn't feel like he had anything to lose. Jefferson is not known for being the greatest politician. And in fact, one of the things he is known for leaving off of his tombstone is the fact that he was president. He mentioned the Declaration of Independence. He mentioned most of his career, except for his presidency. He could not wait to leave office. So maybe it wasn't the most politically astute thing to do, but it was long after he was out of office. So,
well, as we talked about the amount of information available about the presidents, but when you start doing research, I suspect you turn up some surprises. What was the big surprise for you, Carter?
Oh, there's so many surprises. One of the things and I guess this is sort of skirting the answer, but one of the things that I just loved learning about was we all have this image, especially of the founding fathers, being made out of marble. You know, they're not lifelike, they're not human. And so what I was trying to do is humanize the men who held this office. You know, and the fact that Washington had one tooth, you know, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I love that kind of stuff because it changes him from a statue into a living, breathing man who had conflicts in his time. He, you know, even though he was a legend in his own time to his own contemporaries.
And I guess, Ken Rudin, if you think about it, they could afford to be a little more human then because the press scrutiny wasn't quite the same as it is today.
That's true. I think CNN was in its infancy back then.
Right.
So, crossfires we were worried about.
We are talking today about the presidents of the United States, all 43 of them. That much I know.
No, you're wrong. 42.
Exactly.
One was Grover Cleveland was two separate. There were only 42 men.
42 men who served in the office, but 43. Thank you very much. So it's going to be that kind of day on Talk of the Nation. Give us a call if you want to be a contestant. You can play our game. We'll ask you three questions. You can win a book if you get them all right. You get a political button from Ken Rudin either way. So give us a call at 800-989-8255. If you want to stump us, send us an email at totn@npr.org. I'm Frank Stasio. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Frank Stasio in Washington, sitting in for Neil Conan. We are picking through the lives of American presidents with author Carter Smith and NPR's political editor Ken Rudin. And you, if you'd like to be a contestant on our program, you're invited to test your knowledge of past leaders. We've got several categories: first ladies, presidential scandals, quotable quotes, personal history about the presidents, vice presidents, or former famous firsts. And if you know anything about that, you get to choose the category. We'll ask you three questions. If you get them all right, you win a book, and we'll have some fun. Give us a call, 800-989-TALK. If you want to try to challenge us, send us an email at totn@npr.org. Dave is on the line from Murray, Kentucky. Try to play our game. Hello, Dave.
Yes, hello.
So, Dave, you're interested in presidents, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, how'd you get interested?
Just basically in school, from elementary school on up. And when I was in the Army in Germany, American Forces Network is a non-commercial enterprise run by the Defense Department. And instead of commercials, they would run these little informational programs about presidents or you know, all kinds of things.
Well, was there any information about the presidents that, I mean, when you watch these things, that you didn't know or that you felt, you know, you needed to know?
Well, Grover Cleveland had a plastic jaw. He was surreptitiously spirited out of the White House, I think, in his second administration. He had a tumor in his mouth. And on the presidential yacht, the Surgeon General or some surgeon operated on him while he was still in office.
Whoa, the bionic that's president,
right.
Carter?
Right. Yeah, yeah, that's right. That was one that I didn't know before I started working on this book. That was an interesting one to find out.
But was it a life-threatening
No, I don't think it was life-threatening.
They didn't want anyone to know because, you know, he might have died on the table.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what?
It was all kept under wraps until the operation proved a success, and they replaced a piece of his jaw with a piece of plastic or some sort of artificial skin.
Right. So now where's the jaw now? That's not in the Smithsonian or anything, right?
I suppose it's in his casket with his face.
Okay. Well, how about you ready to play, Dave?
I'm ready.
What's your category?
Famous first.
Famous firsts, okay? So Carter Smith, author of Presidents, Every Question Answered, everything you could possibly want to know about the nation's chief executives. Come up with three questions on famous firsts.
Famous firsts, okay. How about this one? Who was the first president to win the presidency while losing the popular vote?
Losing the popular vote. Oh, gosh, and it's right on the tip of my tongue.
This is, of course, the Electoral College paradox we're dealing with.
That's right.
I guess I'm not as good as I thought
I was. All right, how about a hint?
I'll say
Well, let's make this one a twofer, okay?
Okay.
He's also another first. He's the first. This is probably a giveaway, but I'll go ahead anyway. He was the first son of a president to become president.
Oh, John Quincy Adams.
John Quincy Adams. That's
okay.
Right.
Boy,
that's
got
right.
to be a habit in the old American political process. Sons of presidents who don't win. Well, go ahead.
Right.
So
you know, in fact, Benjamin Harrison, who was grandson of William Henry Harrison, also lost the popular vote, I believe. So I don't know what it is with relatives.
Relatives of the president.
Yeah.
And are there not enough families in the United States so that we can have presidents from different families? Or
you would think, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So question number two.
Okay, let's see. Who was the first Quaker president?
That would have been, Quaker.
He later modeled for the Quaker Oats box, actually. He was the model originally. Yeah, it was him. That's him.
That's a tough one.
Could it have been Fillmore?
No. It's later than that. We've only had two Quaker presidents.
Nixon was a Quaker.
Right. It's before Nixon.
Before Nixon.
He did serve in the 20th century.
We have a hint? You want to
give
a hint?
Did he have a chicken in every pot and a car in every garage?
Exactly. Uh-huh.
That would have been Hoover.
All right.
Who was from Iowa, by the way?
Herbert Hoover,
right.
The Quaker from Iowa. And,
right.
So now the third question. Very good. Very good.
Okay, third question. Let's see. Who was the first president not to have been born in Virginia or Massachusetts?
First president not to be born in...
In Virginia or Massachusetts.
Right.
Jackson.
Which, you're right. Very
good.
Wow,
that's all three.
Is
that it?
By the way, down at the Hermitage in Nashville.
And that was that where he was born? Was it in Tennessee? Where was he born?
I think he was born in
North Carolina.
North Carolina, yeah.
North
Carolina. And immigrated.
Very
on
good.
The category of first ladies, though, this has always struck me as being interesting. Julia Grant was our first cross-eyed first lady. And so far, our only cross-eyed first lady.
Well, thank you very much for your call, Dave. And you've got the book, and you're going to get plenty more information. So if you ever have to play again, you're going to have lots of stuff. Thank you very much, Dave.
You know, Frank.
Thank you.
Frank, we knew she was cross-eyed because every time they would ask her who was buried in Grant's tomb, she didn't know.
Did not
know that at all.
On the on the subject of first ladies, Andrew Johnson's wife actually taught Andrew Johnson to read. I learned this from reading her book.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Okay. Let's go to Dave in Detroit. Hello, Dave.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. You ready to play our game?
I'm all set, yep.
Great. You think you're up on your American presidents?
Well, I hope so.
Now, were you good in this stuff? Were you kind of the guy in class who always, were good at the history questions?
I was one who would be sitting in the back, not raising his hand, and then when the teacher didn't have anything to ask, she'd call on me.
All right, well, you're on the hook now. What's your category?
Quotable quotes.
All right, quotable quotes.
Okay, let's see. How about this one? One president's daughter had this to say about her attention-seeking father. When he attends a wedding, he wants to be the bride, and when he attends a funeral, he wants to be the corpse. Name the president.
Boy, that was not a campaign speech, I'll tell you that.
It wasn't.
Teddy Roosevelt.
You are right. Very good.
How did you know that? Is that a guess?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, good.
I knew that Teddy Roosevelt's daughter was fairly outspoken.
Yeah.
There you go. Right.
A lot, so.
Right. But that says a lot about Teddy. I love that quote, and I'd love he's almost like an action figure president. He's so much fun to read about.
All right, question number two.
Question number two, okay. Which president, tiring of the constant demands of the media, said this: "I may be president of the United States, but my private life is nobody's damn business."
This had to be somebody before the 20th century, I'd say, Ken. Before the 19th century, prior to the 18th century, who could possibly believe that?
Oh, Adams, John Adams.
All right,
that is incorrect.
Incorrect. All right, who was that?
That was Chester Arthur.
Chester
Arthur.
Chester Arthur. Was he a president? Shows you what I know. What prompted that?
Well, I think that he was kind of a controversial figure, actually.
Yeah.
Because there was a controversy within his party at the time between different factions, and he basically had a plum job. He was the superintendent of New York. I'm blanking here.
Mm-hmm.
Of tariffs
yeah.
in New York.
Yeah.
And it was basically a money-making job. And so he was heavily criticized when he came into office. And, you know, he surprised a lot of people, actually, by passing something called the Pendleton Act, which said that political appointees have to know something about the position that they're about to take.
Whoa.
So, you know, imagine that.
That's an
imagine
unpopular
that.
Thing to do.
So, yeah, it wasn't the least expected thing coming from someone like
him. Yeah, but he
like
already
him.
Had his job, right?
He already had his job.
Sure, what
right.
does he care?
Right.
All right,
so,
so let's move on now. Question number three. Am I right?
Okay.
Am I keeping track here? I think it's
yeah,
three.
I think that's right. Question number three. Okay, here's a good one. Who said this? "When I was 16, I acted like I was 40, and when I was 40, I acted like I was 16.
Bill Clinton.
Exactly right.
Whoa.
Yes.
Once again, Dave,
yes.
was that a guess or had you heard that before?
Yeah, no, that was a guess too, based on...
It's a pretty logical one. I think he knows himself pretty well, Mr. Clinton.
Very good. All right, Dave, you get a button.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
So which button does Dave get based on how he answered?
Well, you know, he has a choice. I mean, he could have a Jimmy Carter button. He could have, you know, he could have a Gerald Ford button, you know, one of the rare presidents who was not elected to the job. As a matter of fact, the Ford and Rockefeller ticket, you had a president and vice president,
that's right.
both unelected in the brief time in the 1970s. You could have a Nixon button. He could just... Whatever he likes.
That sounds great. Ken, what got you interested in this? I mean, you really have this head for trivia. You know a lot of stuff, and also some important information tucked away in there.
I think it's a guy thing. And the reason I say that is that when we love talking about, politics and baseball, it's the same kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You love the trivia. You love the lore. But, of course, unlike baseball, this is really important. I mean, obviously, you know, the leadership of the country, how the country is ruled and how the country is governed is very, very important. Obviously, people should care about who our leaders are as opposed to, you know, who led the American League in RBIs last year. But, again, it's the kind of thing where you just talk about. You just remember it. You loved it as a kid. You loved it as a boy. I mean, I remember in school everybody crying. And I say, why is everybody so upset? It was the McKinley assassination. And as a kid, I remember that. And ever since then, I've loved politics.
1-800?
Frank, that was 1901.
989?
Frank.
I got it.
In Buffalo.
In Buffalo, actually.
Do you remember where you were?
In Buffalo, they celebrated the Bicentennial, named after Buffalo. The Bison.
The Bicentennial.
Ba-dum-bum.
800. Do you see why I went to the phone number right away? 800-989-8255 if you want to join in the conversation and become a contestant, as Lenny has done from Athens, Ohio. Hi, Lenny.
Hey, how are you today?
Pretty good. You pretty good at this kind of thing?
Well, I don't know. I would have gotten most of them right so far, maybe a couple wrong,
won't we? All right, what category you want?
Scandals.
Okay. Scandals, yeah, we're waiting to get into the juicy stuff.
All right,
Lenny, here we go.
In November 1973, Richard Nixon ordered Attorney General Elliot Richardson to fire Leon Jaworski, the special Watergate prosecutor. When Richardson resigned rather than follow the order, Nixon asked the assistant attorney general, William Ruckelshaus, to fire Jaworski. Ruckelshaus resigned, and a new acting attorney general was forced to do the deed. Who was the acting attorney general who fired Leon Jaworski?
Archibald Cox.
Archibald. Well, you're on the right track, but not quite.
He stepped down.
Right.
While you're thinking about this, Lenny, I just want to remind everybody that you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Frank Stacio, sitting in for Neil Conan, and at the moment, Lenny is trying to figure out who it was on that Saturday Night Massacre who actually ended up doing the firing and later became a candidate for Supreme Court Justice.
And rejected.
And an unsuccessful candidate for Supreme Court Justice.
Not getting it.
He was okay. Ronald Reagan.
How about a multiple choice?
Yep, okay.
Was it Caspar Weinberger, Dick Cheney, Robert Bork, or Earl Butz?
Bork.
Right. Robert Bork.
Right. Remember Earl Butz?
I was going to say we should do an Earl Butz trivia show. That'd be a lot of fun. We could tell the jokes and do emails for the punchlines, and it'd be a great show. Okay, Lenny, that's one. Let's try number two.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see. Number two. A scandal called the Eaton Affair erupted when Peggy Eaton, a barmaid turned cabinet member's wife, was snubbed by the wives of all the other cabinet members in this president's cabinet. The situation made the president so mad that when the unmarried Secretary of State came to Mrs. Eaton's defense, the president rewarded him by naming him vice president when the original vice president resigned. It's a little complicated here, but the new vice president then went on to become the next president.
It was in the 1830s. It was Van Buren.
You're exactly right.
Whoa.
Exactly right.
Yeah, because
it happened during the Jackson administration.
Lenny, I'm just going to say I'm glad you got that quickly because there's no way I was going to get him to repeat the question. So I'm glad you got it. But tell us more about this.
Yeah, what happened is Martin Van Buren, it's not necessarily that he wasn't particularly interested in the Eatons' marriage. He saw an opportunity to distinguish himself in the mind of President Jackson. Van Buren, here's an interesting note, he was a widower himself, but in his autobiography he does not mention his wife once. Wow. Which is kind of odd. Yes, he was a fine New York political operator, and he operated himself right into the presidency.
And I guess and the social lives of presidential wives and their social lives in Washington, D.C. played a bigger part in those presidencies.
Oh,
back
absolutely.
Then. Yeah. Okay,
right.
Question three.
Okay. All right, this is a toughie. Who was Bernard Goldfein, and described the presidential scandal he was involved in? And I'll give you a hint because that's such a tough one.
Okay.
It was in the second half of the 20th century.
Bernard Goldfein was the 23rd president of the United States.
Sorry, Bernard Goldfein was involved in a presidential scandal?
Right. And what was the scandal? Or identify Bernard Goldfein.
Bernard Goldfein.
This is pretty obscure.
In the second half of the 20th century.
Second half of the 20th century. And
maybe he was the guy who accused Nixon of accepting a campaign when he made the Checkers speech, perhaps.
No, but but you're in the right era. In the right era.
That's another hint.
Yeah. You're exactly right that the era was the same era that Nixon delivered his Checkers speech.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
The early 50s,
Right. I think this one might have been too tough.
All right, what's the answer?
All right. He was a Boston industrialist and a former governor of New Hampshire who gave illegal gifts to Eisenhower's chief of staff.
Oh.
That's a tough one.
Just the Vicuna scandal?
Sherman Adams.
Sherman Adams. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, that was pretty unfair.
Well, Lenny, I've never gotten that one.
You get a button out of the deal anyway. Thank you for calling.
Great.
When we come back after a short break, our presidential quiz continues with a celebrity guest. Here's a hint. He's 8 years old and he's real smart. I'm Frank Stacio. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Right now, we're finishing our presidential quiz show. Carter Smith is with us, the author of Presidents, Every Question Answered, and Ken Rudin, NPR's political editor. And we're taking your phone calls as well. If you think you know something about presidents, we'll ask you three questions. If you get them all right, we'll give you Carter's book. If not, well, you'll get a button from Ken anyway. And John is on the line from Charlottesville. Hi, John.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, John. You have a category for us?
I guess first ladies I'll try.
All right, we're going to try first ladies. Three questions, Carter.
Okay. Question number one. After her husband's death, unfounded rumors circulated that this first lady may have had a hand in her husband's death after she discovered her husband was having an affair. Who was the first lady?
Well, that sounds a lot like Jackie Kennedy.
No. No.
Okay, got a hint? Got a hint?
Then it's got to be Lemonade Lucy, Lincoln's wife.
No. Wasn't her.
Nobody give us a hint.
Okay. This president, it was found out after his death that he actually had also fathered an illegitimate child with his mistress.
Warren G. Harding?
Yes.
That's Warren Harding. Very good.
Right.
All right. But,
only journalist to become a president.
That's right.
Wow.
One of the amazing things about Harding is that when he died, there was amazing amounts of mourning. He was enormously popular. He's looked at one of our worst presidents now.
Yep.
But at the time, he was enormously popular. People were tired of Wilson and international involvement. Right.
In the league.
All right. Question number two.
Question number two. In 1994, documents were released to the public containing charges that this first lady illegally padded the White House expense account and had no-show employees whose salaries she pocketed. This first lady is?
Oh, that's
corruption.
Yeah.
You got a hint for us?
Okay, let's see. She also had a somewhat tragic life in that she lost not one but two of her children.
All right. Scandalous first ladies. Well, we're going to have to get an answer
for that. That would have to be Mimi Eisenhower.
No.
No? All right. Carter, who was it?
That was Mary Todd Lincoln.
Oh.
She was, notorious for overspending her budget constantly.
Right. Right.
And it was a big, big embarrassment to Abe.
Right.
And so that's what she's charged with.
All right. Well, you got one more try here, John. Carter?
Okay. This first lady suffered from severe epilepsy, thought to have been brought on by two difficult births of her children. If she had a seizure in public, her husband, who was always at her side when she was in public, would throw a handkerchief over her face until the attack passed. Who was this first lady?
Can I have multiple choice on that one?
Let's give him multiple choice.
Okay. Pat Nixon, Ida McKinley, Lou Hoover, or Rachel Jackson?
Well, John, what do you think?
I don't think it's Pat Nixon.
You're on the right track with that.
Wild guess, I'd say Hoover's wife.
Nope. It was Ida. Ida McKinley.
Was.
Yeah. And she had, thank you, John. Listen, you're gonna get the button anyway.
Okay.
So that sounds pretty good. And Ken Rudin is here to give you that button. And which one does he get, Ken?
I think he'll get a button. He'll get a campaign button.
Get one of the ones. One that fits, I hope.
That's right.
Well, look, we have a special contestant joining us now, and I'm sure he's going to get them all right. Neil McAlmont has been called one of America's leading presidential historians, also happens to be 8 years old. He first became curious about presidents in first grade when his teacher showed the class what money looked like. Curious association. That led him to Google U.S. presidents, and the rest, as they say, is history. Neil McAlmont joins us now from his home in Hollis, New Hampshire. Thank you, Neil, for joining us.
Anytime.
Okay. Is it true that your father had no idea how much you knew about presidents until he...
Yes.
It was a White House tour, right?
Yes.
What happened there?
This guy came up and because he overheard me saying that I saw the Jacqueline Kennedy Garden, and he came up and started quizzing me about presidents, and my dad was really surprised, and he started quizzing me, and I got all the answers right, and he started to phone his other Secret Service guys, and the tour became into like this presidential game out of a tour of a White House.
So you mean the Secret Service guys were asking you questions? You know?
Yes.
Yeah? Were there things they didn't know? Or?
There were things that they know.
Yeah, yeah. So now you got interested. What's the connection between the picture of money? How did you get interested in this?
Because I figured out that if someone had to get on money, they'd have to do something really good to get on money. So,
All right.
Because they don't put anybody on money.
That's a good point. And then once they get the job, there's even more. So that's pretty good. Listen, Neil, we're going to ask you some questions now. You ready for this?
Yes.
All right. And is Neil going to pick a category? We'll let him pick a category.
President?
President.
George Washington?
George Washington. All right. All right, here you go. Carter?
Okay. Well, I was really impressed that you knew who had the biggest shoe size. So I'm going to ask you another one about shoe size. What size boots did George Washington wear?
13.
Wow. You're right.
Where is this information? Go ahead. Question number two.
I hate this kid.
All right. Okay. What was George Washington's favorite sport?
Huh?
What was his favorite sport?
I know he really liked horseback riding.
That's right. That was one of them. But I'm thinking of...
Fishing?
Close. Well, sort of. A kind of hunting. On horseback.
Oh yeah, he loves fox hunting.
That's right. You're right.
Wow.
Very good.
Very good.
Because I know he loved fishing, he loved horseback riding, and he loved fox hunting.
That's right.
Real outdoorsman. All right.
Yeah.
All right. You're two for two. Let's go for the big bonus question here.
Okay. President Washington owned 6 white horses at his home at Mount Vernon, and every morning he ordered that all 6 horses have what happened to them?
To have them brushed. He would brush their teeth every morning.
That's right. He brushed their teeth.
Wow.
Very good.
That's amazing. I guess he was jealous, huh?
Right.
They had all their teeth.
Yeah. He knew how important taking care
of... His horse was Nelson.
What was that?
He had a favorite horse, and he named it Nelson.
Wow. Well, okay, Neil. Why?
He really liked it because I think he was very steady.
All right, very good. Neil McAlmont, thank you so very much. We're all very jealous of how much you know at such a tender age.
I hate that kid.
Neil, thanks a lot. Neil's an 8-year-old presidential historian, the inventor of a game, U.S. Presidents, Not Your Typical Trivia Game, is Neil's game. And he joined us from his home in Hollis, New Hampshire. Okay, so now we've got a question for you. Ken,
okay.
Our listeners have called, emailed us, and here's the question. No president or vice president has ever been elected from the Pacific Northwest. And just to tell you what that is, it's Washington, Idaho, or Oregon. There was a vice presidential nominee from Oregon.
Charles McNary.
Who was that? And McNary it is. Huh. You get a button
it's about time.
Ken, from your own collection.
Charles McNary, Wendell Willkie's running mate in 1940.
Really? And he was from Oregon.
Frank, I am so impressed.
And the last question, what happened to him?
Well, he was Senate Majority Leader and Minority Leader. And he later became a host of Talk of the Nation, actually, before Neil Conan.
So, in other words, he ended up in his obscurity.
Yeah.
Okay. One more question, Carter Smith. What is a cord wainer? We said what did we say?
One of the someone who wanes cords.
Yes, someone who wanes cords.
Right.
No, that's a wane corder turns out to be, a cord wainer is a shoemaker, turns out. Yeah.
Okay.
So if you were a cord wainer.
I thought that was a cobbler. No, cobbler fixes shoes.
No, that's a pastry. Thank you very much, Carter Smith, who is the author of President's Every Question. Answered everything that you could possibly want to know about the nation's chief executives, and Ken Rudin, and
Charles McNary,
political editor. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Frank.